Welcome back to Nachi Yomi. We are now charging on to the 23rd perek of Sefer Yehoshua. This is a shortish perek. It is 16 psukim long. And the topic of the perek is Yehoshua's speech towards the end of his life. So what happens is that we're going to see that Yehoshua gathers everybody together and makes one of his last speeches. We're going to see if it really is his last or it's his second last speech that he's making to the people around him. As we move through this perek, just something to bear in mind when we're looking through this is comparisons that really are echoes to the second paragraph of Shema, where Hashem lays out for us what happens if we do the right things, if we don't do the right things. Yehoshua, in a certain sense, borrows some language and some references to that as he lays out the speech. So what happens? He gathers all the leaders, he gathers the Zakenim, the Roshim, the Rosh HaShvatim, the Shoitrim, all the people, and he says, look, I've become old, I want to make a few points to you, says Yehoshua. Number one, notice when you look back, look at how Hashem fought for you. Now, it is fascinating to notice that Hashem did fight for Israel, but there was, in a certain sense, if you were to graph it, we can see a declining line of express miracles in Sefer Yehoshua. At the beginning was, you know, walls falling down, Jericho, you know, as we move onwards, you know, the miracles become somewhat more natural. It's the snow, it's the hailstorm over the enemies, which follows them, but then the sun stops, but then there's more normal natural battles. So we've been seeing a declination of the miracles, but now that Yehoshua is reminding them that it just doesn't make sense that you could have fought these battles alone and succeeded in all of them without any casualties. So therefore, says Yehoshua, that means you got to be very, very careful to keep this Torah, meaning Hashem has given this land to you. You need to make sure to keep this Torah and to stick with it. And that means that there are nations who remain among you who you have not conquered. You need to drive them out. You need to get rid of them. As Hashem helped you get rid of the previous nations, you need to be careful. V'nishmartim ol nashoseichem, says Yehoshua. Be very careful for your souls. La'avo es Hashem elokeichem, to love Hashem. Because you know what's going to happen? If you can let them live, what's going to end up happening? You get friendly, you know, you become neighbors, it's very cosmopolitan, and everybody starts marrying everybody else. And then you start adopting and enculturating. That's not the way it's going to work. Yehoshua says, you need to know with all your hearts and souls, God made sure everything good happened to you, so make sure to fulfill his covenant. For if not, and there's a darker side to the end of the perek, Yehoshua says, if you choose not to carry on this mission, and you decide to settle down without taking care of the rest of the influences in the land, Hashem, in the same way that Hashem showed his hashkacha, his divine providence, to help you conquer, he will show his divine providence to help you actually fail. Meaning to say, the divine providence isn't just when it helps us, divine providence is also when it is against us, if we're not on the same page. So Yehoshua says, be very, very careful about that when allowing people to do this, because God forbid, and he closes the parak, you may be chased away from this land with this good land which Hashem gave you, which of course sounds very similar to the Kriyas Shema in the second paragraph. Now, just looking at this parak as a whole, this is Yehoshua's speech, it's a very, very powerful speech. There's just a few things we should really notice. One is something which we really need to think about in today's society. The Malbim points out that there's really only two options which lay in front of Jews, and certainly in the land of Israel. And he puts it as a zero-sum game, which means to say that either we assimilate or we dominate. That means to say that either Israel is going to get rid of the influences who surround them, chase them out, kill them, or whether they convert to a certain degree to keep the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and they are subservient. That is one option. The other option is assimilation. There is no middle ground. There's no middle ground for cosmopolitan multiculturalism. That's what the Malbim says. Now, you think that sounds a little extreme, which is what Yehoshua is saying. Yehoshua is saying is don't think there's middle ground. Don't allow them to live as your neighbors, because what's going to end up happening is ultimately you're going to enculturate. So that's why Yehoshua is forcing this matter so heavily. The thing is that you think, wow, that's pretty heavy-handed. You know, what happened to, you know, live and let live? But the truth is, if we look back at throughout our exile, the long, lengthy, you know, extent of Jewish exile, and we think where we succeeded and where we succeeded less throughout Jewish exile. You know, we're fortunate to be living in an era where there's less persecution in the Western countries, or at least overt persecution in Western countries, which is a tremendous blessing. But let's also look at the numbers. Right now, outside of Orthodox Judaism, the conversion, the intermarriage rate is 74%, according to the Pew study a few years ago. Including Orthodoxy, it's 52%. That means to say that we aren't doing so well, meaning for all the wonderful institutions and all the incredible reach that we're having, we're not doing so well as a nation when it comes to multiculturalism, just as a thought. This doesn't mean to say that the options now are dominate or assimilate, but it is food for thought, the Malbim is saying over here in interpreting Yeshua's speech, that sometimes when we think we can just survive side by side or completely integrated, it's a bit of a foolish way of thinking about things. Because unfortunately we have seen and suffered through this throughout history. Another point just to think about in this perek is that Yeshua is emphasizing to the people, look, you just witnessed 14 amazing years of Hashem's involvement in your lives on a national scale. He says, don't think for a moment, says the Radak, that this is normal. Don't go to bed and tomorrow morning write an op-ed saying, you know, about how successful you were as soldiers. Kind of brings us back to like a post 1967 kind of place. You know, there was a book called The Seventh Day, Soldiers Speak, which is about the Six Day War, and it was written by a number of kibbutzniks. And they were talking about an instance where a few of them were in a jeep in the Egyptian peninsula, and they got too far ahead of the battalion, and they didn't notice that they were alone. They checked in the radio, there was nobody nearby them. Then they heard a squadron of Syrian jets above them, and they knew they were goners because it was open territory, nowhere to hide. They jump out of the jeep. They lie down on the floor. The first wave comes over, strafing bullets everywhere. They get up unharmed. The Syrians come around a second time, a third time, strafing bullets. Not a single Israeli soldier was harmed. On the fourth time round, they use napalm. Because they don't want to miss, and no Israelis harmed, and then an Israeli jets come away and chase away the Syrian pilots. When asked about that afterwards, the response was, I guess we were lucky. So says Yeshua, don't think, I guess we were lucky. That's not the way to look at this. Understand that there was no way that one Israeli soldier over here could be chasing thousands of their enemies when it came to the conquest of the land. Don't forget that. And because we shouldn't forget that, we should not forget what Hashem said, that we need to finish the job. This concludes Sefer the Perek Chof Gimel. Tomorrow we will conclude Sefer Yoshua. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.